Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. Today, we are celebrating Cavan Town Hall, an oasis for creativity in Cavan for generations. We went to visit the Town Hall to meet Cavan native and renowned award-winning actress Dervla Crotty to discover her early memories of the place and how it shaped her. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
I love it. I really do.
It certainly did mean something to me when I was younger. And if I have an early memory, I suppose it is of being, we're sitting here in the town hall, so I can point up to what was the balcony. And I seem to remember being up there and being at a pantomime. And one of the guys, in my memory, it's Jimmy Fox. I think it was Jimmy Fox. Cracking eggs and cracking them right into his mouth and swallowing them. Raw eggs. I was just transfixed. If somebody got up on stage and did that today, I might book to go the night after as well. So, I mean, you know, who knows? Is it a real memory? I think it must be a real memory, or it was the most vivid dream. I think now, with the investment in this building, and I think now there does seem to be a very genuine and conscious commitment to bringing that to the community at large. I think it's wonderful that there's real support for artists working in the town, for someone like Philip Doherty to create his extravaganzas, which everyone gets so much pleasure from, for there to be art installations in here. I certainly remember that there were art exhibitions in here. So it wasn't just dramatic art. It was also, they would set up here with kind of bases and you would have the art on each side, and I love that. And I love that there was also that people could buy it and take it away. So it's so important to encounter it in the town that you go to badminton down the road. And now it's a thing that I love to do. It's something that I'll do in my spare time. It's something that will eat up any tiny bit of spare money I have, is even going to a foreign city and lining up galleries to go to. I go on my own. It gives me an enormous amount of pleasure. So I'm very glad that this venue had something to do with that as well, had something to do with making that accessible and familiar, and my being confident in going in there and enjoying it. I feel that art is an impulse and it's pretty irresistible. But you have to recognise it to act on it. And it's so valuable. And I think we are now in a much better place in terms of recognising the value to community, the value to individuals, the necessity of the magic of transforming the individual experience into a universal experience. Being able to think and talk about things that might otherwise be hidden away. And to enjoy being together and to enjoy the experience and to empathise with people whose experience isn't exactly the same as ours. I think that's the great power of it. And that needs to be done in an enjoyable and entertaining way and skillful way. So I think given that it is an impulse and that there are creative individuals who need to function this way, who need to express in this way, the fact that we have an expanded professional art scene gives opportunity, I suppose, to those creative individuals. And I think, you know, the more resourced it is, the more that calling will be responded to. I really want people, though, to be valued for that work and for it not to be seen just as a labour of love, as a real profession involving very hard work and a huge amount of commitment and often inconvenience to the private life and the risk of being freelance and so on. So I think it's not just a question of giving a platform for that, but it's about a deeper realisation of what it costs and what real supports can be put in place. So that it's respected as a profession, which I don't think. I think when I was growing up in the 70s, there just wasn't, that wasn't the landscape. And people were terrified of it. And I think there's maybe a bit of that is still there. You know, how are you going to do that and how will you survive? And it's a very real worry. But the way to counter that is to give genuine and real supports to that. I think I did have a sense of magic about the whole expedition. And then as I got a bit older, I'm definitely aware of the one-act festival. And I'd want to be coming every night. I think I, you know, would be lucky if I got two nights out of the seven. And I did come to some of the adjudications. And that was fascinating, how they broke down all the elements of performance. And assigned points. And the one acts is something to think about. Because you had a different play every single night, and they were quite, and they're short by the nature of it, they're short. And a new set, whole new set of people. I think there was always a very big volunteer community. I think that's entirely what it was, wasn't it? It was about people coming together and making something happen. And I really remember all the women making fantastic sandwiches, and they would be outside there in one of those two little rooms. And I think kind of like hotel spuds were always the best spuds and better than anything you could have at home. Like town hall sandwiches were the best sandwiches you could ever have. They probably had half a pound of butter on every one of them. And I just have a memory, and I suppose it's a golden memory, of the women dressed up and a kind of glamour about it. And again, that excitement that particularly to a young person is just catnip. There is such a buzz in an audience and all of that expectation. Nobody really knows. And then there are people that people know on the stage. I think that must have really distinguished it as well. So someone would come on, maybe Mel Doherty, and people would be laughing already. And they'd know. And so you've got this great excitement, a great atmosphere of excitement. And I think certainly when you're a young person, that does translate as something magic. Because you, where else do you encounter that? When I think about growing up in the 70s, I was born in 68. Apart from here, I think it was a bit of a desert. The fact that you could come in and see a different world, a different set of circumstances, a new dilemma, a new group of people negotiating life, I suppose, or it could be a comedy or a drama or something that touched on death or you know, something that was just very lighthearted, and that night by night you could have a different experience. I guess it's kind of a modern world to say portal now, but in a way, but you did have the opportunity of teleporting, I suppose, to a new reality every night. And we were starved of that when you think about it. It just wasn't available. You didn't have, needless to say, multi-streaming, you didn't have at your fingertips material from archive material or drama material stretching back years as we do now. So you're very limited. And so this really necessary, random group of stories, I suppose, taking place in real time for an hour or so, every night for a week here in the town hall. I just think that was such a necessary thing to happen. And then when you think about all the industry, all the rehearsal and all the people building the sets, and they change from night to night. And I think I was really aware of that. I think the fact that you come into a space and it's different every time you come in makes you very aware of the need to transform that space in a short space of time. And so one night you have a forest. And, you know, everybody in kind of diaphanous outfits. I think I'm making that up, but maybe I did see that. And then the next night you've got filing cabinets and it's all very grey and people are very buttoned up and so on. And each time the curtain, I'm actually turning around and looking now at that red curtain, and the curtain goes across and here we are. This is where we are tonight. Really special. And the creaky seats and the very distinctive smell and raffle tickets, if I'm not entirely mistaken. I don't know if there were raffle tickets every night. All parts, definitely a huge part of the excitement would have been that you might, well, maybe you'd get up on stage to get your prize. I never did. I would have been very excited to have actually won a prize and to have gone up there and collected it. I certainly remember seeing Lovers Meeting here by Druid. And I actually genuinely remember the set, which was by Monica Frawley. And it had a spiral staircase and a checkerboard floor. And really wonderful actors who I've acted with since, to my amazement and gratitude. And I think that's very important to have had touring professional productions come in alongside the very high standard of amateur. The Town Hall being such an attractive building, I think, as well. I think the fact that it's a dedicated space, that it has a special stage and those little steps that go up there to stage left and right. You know, it's not on the ground and by day it's a basketball court and by night you put a few lights and it's specific, it's dedicated, it's made for this purpose. And I guess there's a political aspect to it as well, isn't there? But I'm looking around now and I'm really enjoying all of the wood and I'm enjoying how good the voice sounds here and saying it's really a kind of a cathedral to performance, or a space that is all about enhancing that experience. And I think that's wonderful that we've got something here in the centre of town that declares itself like that. And now I'm looking at it and I think it's such a beautiful job. It's still very pleasing to look at. Yeah. I'm kind of aware there's some kind of a phrase, you can't be what you can't see. But I, as I've said, I think having a physical entity in the centre of the town where people did do that, where nightly they did cross the line and where they made people laugh, I think that's very attractive as well. When you have experienced the stage as an audience and as a young audience, it's the power of it. It's the power to move, to transform, to bring together. And you really feel all of those things. That's a very real energy that's happening in an auditorium. And I think also there was real value put on that in the community that I grew up. And I think all of that, everything is put into the soup. Everything's, but a very necessary ingredient in that soup mix, I think, is to see that there's value placed on this within the community. Another thing I really remember, and this might be an unusual thing, is I think this was used, I'm nearly sure, I don't think it's a false memory, but that there was this is a voting centre, or was a voting centre, and what I really remember is coming down on a bus that was laid on by one of the main political parties for the presidential election in which Mary Robinson was elected. And that was such a watershed. And I was in Dublin at the time. My vote was here. I kept my vote here for a very long time, actually. And I came down and there was literally three guys in camel coats standing outside, and they were doing the pre-canvassing, or they were doing just before you came in, that's good, and you'll give us your vote. And I very proudly declared to them that they were not getting my vote and that I was going to be voting for Mary Robinson here in the town hall. And history was made. Yeah, very important history.
After Dervla's ringing endorsement for creativity in Cavan, we sat down with venue manager of the town hall, Porrick McIntyre, to discover his memories of the building and his hopes for its future.
I suppose my own initial memories are Cavan Drama Festival and Druid in Galway coming here with a play by Lennox Robinson. And it was Druid, I suppose, when they used to do them what they called unusual rural tours. They had brought the playboy to Sharecook maybe a year or two before that, and I was brought by chance by my parents to see that, and I was blown away, and I didn't really know much about professional theatre. And then Druid sort of became something for me, and then I seen that they were coming to the town hall, probably in the Celt or something, with Lovers Meeting by Louis Dalton, Lovers Meeting, and all the famous Druid heads, Melissa Stafford, Sean McGinley, Marie Mullen, I think Dara Kelly was in that. So I remember seeing that in here, and then I suppose I got tuned into the drama festivals, and I used to come here as an audience member with my parents quite young. I suppose I have a vague memory of being in the car park after it and my mother talking to neighbours of hers from where she came from in Cotill, and we were waiting and me seeing the actors walking out the side door with their little bags. So they were real people and it was pretend, and I think that was the revelation moment. While I was in here, I was wrapped in the story, but then realising, oh, these are normal people with little bags that have just been pretending to me. So I suppose that sort of stole me soul in a way that, oh my God, this is, people do this, they get up there and tell stories and then walk away. So I suppose that was the magic of it, in a strange way. And then just the stories, as the lights go down, you're transported to somewhere else. And I suppose the secret maybe of good theatre is that it keeps us in that moment and we forget we're in an auditorium. I read plays, my father was a big reader, so there was particularly Irish novels in the house, so I had a tendency towards that way, so I probably was going to seek it out anyway, but I just remember that being the specific moment where, you know, the penny dropped for me going, oh, there's a world out here of theatre. Like, I was only about 10. The role that any art centre plays in any town, I don't think it's any coincidence that people like Philip Doherty or Aaron Monaghan or Dervla Crotty, these people have come out of Cavan because this place was on their doorstep. They probably have different memories, but no doubt something happened to them in this space where they went, oh, a eureka moment as well. So I don't think, like, I often wonder, why does Ireland not produce great skiers? Is because we don't have snow and high mountains and skiing areas, and if we did, we probably would. But we've a huge heritage of literature, poets, playwrights, actors, punching away above our weight globally. And that's probably because of the network of art centres or town halls or drama festivals, which I think are hugely important, especially at a young age. That's, as you say, maybe Druid coming to Cavan was hugely significant. But there was 10 nights every year of different plays from all over the country that were of very, very high quality. Like, Cavan attracted some of the best and All Ireland winning groups to Cavan. So, you know, to have that on your doorstep, I think, absolutely opens it up. I think if there was no Cavan Town Hall, there would be less arts, artists, creative people around the town and county. Where we are at the current point of the history of the town hall is it's really newly refurbished, open. COVID, it just opened just before COVID, so that was a setback. But we are now open, fully programming across all arts genres, from theatre, dance, literature, music, commercial, and artistic. So it's running as a fully functional art centre now. Also, there's a small gallery space at the front, which has been programmed by the Arts Office and Joe Keenan. And we have three artist studios on the top floor, which have artists are going into now July, August and September. Three artists for 3 months and then three more for October, November, December. So six artists will be working here in the building for the next 6 months of 2022 and a full programme of all artistic events. So we're really lucky. We have three scenarios to perform. We have the proscenium art stage with full seating, which holds about 240. We can take out the seats on the floor, perform on the floor, and just the rake seating, which is 165, or all the seats can go out and you can have a stand-up concert, which we had for the arts festival with the villagers, and we had about 400 people standing, and that was the first one of them we did, but a hugely special night. So, you know, it's versatile. One-man shows can sit here as well as big shows like the villagers. Audience members that have come in come back, which is good. They seem excited about the place, and performers that have come have been on to me, when can we come back? My hopes for the future would be that it would be a hub where, and I think this is what the studios, and that is really important, that it's a place where artists feel welcome, that they can come to us, the management team, with ideas, that they know that there's an open door. There was a huge number of creatives here before the refurbishment job in Philip Doherty and Joe Keenan and that the Gonzo gang, which did amazing, exciting work. So even though now it's sort of been run by the council, I want them artists to know that that ethos is still wide open. I think an art centre without artists is only a community centre. So that'd be one of my big ones. I want audiences to be excited about our programme, and I want to create work here, whether that's theatrical, visual, audio, music. I want to create work here that might have a life beyond here, that can go out on tour and in some way become a flagship for Cavan. So I suppose all them things feeding into a better sense of who we are in Cavan, of what we are and of achievement, and a building, and not just the building, but work that happens in the building that we're all can be very proud of. Every morning, and I'm lucky because I know most people, or a lot of people, don't have this. Every morning I have absolutely no problem in jumping out of bed, either coming here to the town hall or to the Rammer in Virginia and opening the door and leaving down my bag and then walking in to this space or the Rammer space, because it might sound corny or whatever, but it's sort of sacred, and sacred things happen in places like this. And you don't know what that might be that day. Certainly if there's rehearsals going on, or if there's a show coming in that night or that morning, there's a theatre company or a dance company arriving to set up, and you see it growing from some timbers or flats in the back of a van to what you'll watch that night, is sort of amazing. And then it's packed up and gone. It's sort of like a butterfly that you can only hold on to it for so long, and it's let go. I think that's why theatre and live shows and going to live gigs or whatever is so different than film. Is it's there and then it's gone, and it's only a memory and it's only a feeling you're left with. You can't go back. Well, you might go to Longford tomorrow night to see the same show, but it's going to be different in some way.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like, leave a review and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, Sláinte agus beannacht.